The Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com using promo code HGP to get a 100% deposit match. Hello and welcome to the Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ryan Gilbert. Joining me tonight is my co-host, Joel Meyer. How are we doing tonight, Joel?
Pretty good, pretty good. The entire city of Vancouver is doing pretty good after yesterday's heroic comeback win against the Nashville Predators. Unfortunately, I was away celebrating my nephew's fifth birthday at Chuck E. Cheese. So my brain was a bit messed up after 2 hours of screaming kids, and I didn't get to see the game, but that's okay. The result is what matters. So, we'll get into that. Fantastic. I was doing a little bit better before the Lightning scored one, and now I think they scored another, but it was immediately ruled off for GI, I think. But I think they're reviewing it. So we'll see what happens there. But let's hope the Panthers get it done here. Do not need them to be any more beaten up when they have to play the Bruins.
Yeah, Panthers were looking good with that shorty. Lightning got it right back, which, you know, I'm not liking that about the Panthers. They can't, like, not close the deal, but just, you know, just allow a bounce back goal like that. Not going to be good against the Bruins. But, yeah, big comeback win for the Canucks. Huge, huge choke job by the Predators. Just the Predators should arguably be up 3-1 in that series, and they're down 3-1 instead. And, yeah, now we got a big four-game slate on Tuesday. We got four elimination games. Could very likely to be our last four-game slate until October. So make sure you guys savor all of that. Also, make sure you guys are subscribed to the Hockey Gambling Podcast on Spotify, Apple. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. And YouTube as well. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at HockeySGPN.
You didn't say how you were doing.
I didn't ask. I'm doing, not that I care, but how you doing? No, I'm doing good. I'm feeling good for a Monday. So, yeah, had a decent weekend. You know, got some hockey on here. So, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. It was in the 80s today in Philadelphia. I always love the warm weather.
Oh, yeah, it's a sunny day to me here, too, as you can tell in the chat. Smitty making fun of my bright room. He wants me to put a blanket behind me. Well, fuck you, Smitty. I'm not doing that. It's nice, and I love the light coming in, so that's what matters, so deal with it.
Yeah, it's playoff time for us, playoff time for the NBA Gambling Podcast as well, so make sure you check those guys out on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. And it's Derby week. You bet the Derby at all, Joel?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've ever won. One time when I bet like half the horses, but that was about it. Hopefully we get one this year. Just fire away a few bucks on it and hope for the best. It's definitely something I like to watch, though, especially like the lead up to it, all the pageantry and the traditions that go on there. Really like that stuff. And it's I love races. Like swimming is one of my favorite Olympic sports. We got the 200 meter is awesome in the track and field. So yeah, a race is always a fun sweat.
That makes sense. That makes sense for you. It's like, it's the purest form of competition. It's like one person against everybody else who can do it the fastest. There you go.
That's right. And it's over quickly too. So it's like just a quick rush and you're gone.
Yeah. I've heard that a lot before. Kramer, when I was on the flagship show a few weeks ago, Kramer was already doing some horse work. So make sure you check out the Sports Gambling Podcast this week as they get you ready for the Kentucky Derby as well. All right. Anything else you want to touch on here before we get into the games on Tuesday? Anything else from the weekend catch your eye in these games? But I mean, I guess we're going to be talking about most of them anyway.
Well, there was one thing I had to say. Saturday night there was a massive tribute for Bob Cole, the legendary Canadian commentator there. I honestly had tears in my eyes. You know, I'm not a bitch and I'm just crying at anything, but that was really stirring. Well, really well done. You know, it's just, it's not hard to do. You just film him talking, calling the games, showing the highlights and whatever. And it really just brought me back to childhood, like the 90s, early 2000s, legendary games that he called. And you know, he lived a good life, 9 years old. And yeah, it's a legendary guy. And my point was, that same night in the Stars Knights game, we had all the shit, the usual shit about the media guys complaining about the OTO. We got to find another way to end it. And like every time we're talking about it, oh, thank God they ended it early in the second overtime. You never would have heard Bob Cole saying that shit, that's for sure. And mark my word, this little theory of mine, strong theory, I think, is that there will be more of a push towards settling these games earlier. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but they'll definitely be calling for it, because I don't think there's the same love in the media that there was, you know, in the 90s, early 2000s, when people loved hockey so much it wasn't the job to them. They you know, more and more hockey, more OT, let's keep it going. But that isn't the case anymore, sadly. So hopefully the league sees reason and keeps these OTs coming. But I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit of buzz towards ending them earlier.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. I know baseball is doing that now. Not in the playoffs, just in regular season with the ghost runner on second base. But yeah, it's, you know, back in the day, these games weren't scheduled around TV times and TV slots and weren't going like, I mean, they were going to midnight, 1 a.m., like the five overtime Flyers. I think it was Flyers Penguins when Keith Primo scored that goal. But yeah, I could definitely see that. I'm trying to shorten it somehow. Maybe make the second overtime 4-on-4. I could see them going for that, which I don't like as much. I would just like keep the second overtime the long change, because I'm assuming they switch it again for a short change in the second overtime. But just keep it long change in overtime, you know, make the teams that are pushing the other team on the forecheck, you know, give them the advantage and let him play hockey 5-on-5. Let him play until we get a winner.
That's a compromise. I'd rather just keep it the way it's been the whole time. But if there has to be something, then fine. That can be, I can live with that, I suppose.
Yeah, no, we don't have Sharky in the chat, but I'm sure he'd be advocating for the shootout. He's a big fan of the shootout in the playoffs. Yeah. All right, then. Let's get into this four-game slate on Tuesday, April 30th. Four elimination games. Let's just get right into it here. Kicking things off at the 7 p.m. time slot, we have the Toronto Maple Leafs at the Boston Bruins. Game itself is in Boston at the Gardens. Bruins are -166. Maple Leafs are +140. Over under is at 5.5. Over paying off -122. With the under at +102 here. I'll try to take two Eastern Conference games here, because you got your two teams in the West. But I'm finally coming around on them. Austin Matthews didn't practice today. He's not going to be 100% if he plays. Give me the Bruins on the puck line here, +164. They've won seven straight their last five wins against the Leafs have all been by at least two goals, including 3-1, 4-2, 5-1 back in game one. I wouldn't be surprised to see a 4-1, 5-1 score here. The Leafs just have nothing going. Their power play is awful. They're not getting enough shots on the power play. They don't have their top guys. There's people yelling at each other on the bench. I saw today Friedman, and I posted in the Discord, Friedman said, you know, this is very well be the end of the Maple Leafs as we know it, which is not surprising. I could definitely see them trading Marner or trading Nylander. Nylander just
they say that every year, and every year it's the same fucking thing. Run it back, core four.
Well, last year was Dubas, and now either the coach or one of the players has to take the axe.
You're right. I do think that there's some massive changes this time.
You know, probably Marner. But yeah, for this game, Bruins puck line +164. Maybe Bruins -2.5, or maybe like a sprinkle, like a 5-2, 5-1 correct score, because I could see something like that coming out. No real play on the total, though. I could see a 4-1 is under, 5-1's over, 5-2 is over, so I could see anything like that. I think the Bruins get it done here, and I'm talking myself into Bruins for the cup as well, just to get some exposure on that. They're 10-1, the best I can find, 9-1 elsewhere. It does kind of depend on what happens with the Leafs or with the Panthers tonight. If the Panthers win tonight, I feel like they're going to have more time off than the Bruins, even if it's just by a day, and they're going to be good. If they have to go to a game six back in Tampa, kind of worries me a little bit. So wait to see what happens with that one before betting Boston for the cup. But Boston on the puck line for me.
Right. Yeah. Makes sense. That's some Bruins. They are 4-0 against the Panthers this season. And they are the closest ones to knocking them out in the first three rounds last year. Of course, they had a much stronger center group that year, but still did a lot better against them than the Leafs and Hurricanes, at least. Yeah. Speaking of Marner, the thing is, his no trade clause has already kicked in, so they would have to get him to want to leave. And you know, he's a Toronto kid, so
that shouldn't be too hard, though. If the media could get him out of town,
I guess. But if he's lasted this long, well, he keeps coming back for more. Yeah, we'll see what happens down the road for this one. For the present, yeah, I mean, I think the Bruins seal the deal. But what worries me is that. Very narrative driven here is that whenever everyone writes off the Leafs, that's when they show up. That's when they win a game. Like, oh no, there's no way they're going to go to Boston and win after that shit show they put on at home. Like they did a Bob Cole tribute at the arena and you'd think that they'd be all fired up and then they play like the worst 40 minutes of hockey.
No wonder they were crying on the bench. It was just they were just moved. So moved.
Yeah. That's right. They forgot that there was a game on. So yeah, that's just a narrative thing. Bruins, obviously, they're dominating this team. Maple Leafs, they got their opponent in their head. They're going to be switching to Wall, presumably, with Samsonov. No, he hasn't been terrible. He's not the reason why they're losing, but Wall is the better goalie, even after the ankle thing. So yeah, the Maple Leafs have some issues for sure. I don't think Wall is scaring me off them so much, but it's just the fact that the Bruins are dominating the front of the net. They're preventing the Maple Leafs from getting quality chances, and the Maple Leafs are historically afraid to go to the center of the net, at least their star players, and that's still the case. And it's tough. It's tough against a Bruins team that are so disciplined defensively, and that's what we've seen through the first four games, and I don't expect that to deviate. So, yeah, I mean, the puck line, I think you nailed that. Maybe we see an over 5.5 here, some 6 goals. Swayman, 3 games in a row, presumably. He's not used to playing this much. But no, I don't want to touch the total. I think if you want to play the game, then you just do the puck line.
Yeah, you said it would be very Leafs for them to either win this one and then win game 6 and lose in 7 or win this
exactly,
one and then lose back at home. It would be very Leafs. All right, going down to the other Eastern Conference game here at 7:30. We got the New York Islanders at the Carolina Hurricanes. Game itself is in Carolina. Hurricanes are -258. Hurricanes on the puck line are +110. Islanders are +210. Over unders at 5.5, overpaying off +100 with the under at -120. We talked about the game 4 on Friday night. We didn't really see the Islanders winning that one. Took until that was a double overtime game. Yeah, that was double overtime. Hurricanes outshot them 44-35 to add to their shots on goal lead in that series. But down in Carolina, I think they get the job done here. Islanders to shit on the road, 18-25. Carolina 29-14 at home. So money line's too much to lay there. Maybe a puck line +110, maybe a -2.5 if you want to ladder it up, but I'm looking at a Carolina team total over 3.5 at +104. I think I'd rather take that than take the puck line, because if they're up 2-1, I could see Patrick Waugh pulling the goalie twice easily. I mean, it's a desperation elimination game. No reason not to. So, yeah, Carolina puck line +110. Carolina team total over 3.5, around even money. That's probably what I'm looking at.
I'm going the other way here. Naturally, the Hurricanes are expected to win. The price reflects that, but I think it's just too high. +210 for the Islanders here in a building that they were the better team in at least one of the games. Well, obviously not the second one, even though that's the one they should have won, really, with the 3-goal lead. And this team is I think the Isles are a more resilient team. I don't think they're going to go quietly. I think they'll give an effort here. So I'd place a few bucks on the +210. I think that they are likelier to win than those odds suggest. So that's where I'm looking. This team is rallying around Varlamov. Like they're pumped. I like their energy, their spirit. Hurricanes, no doubt, the better team at home. They want to finish the series, but it's not going to be easy, I don't think. So I could see this one being another overtime game. And if you got a plus 210 in pocket in that case, then you're looking pretty good. So, yeah, small bet on the Owls for me. But the total, yeah, not really interested in the over. Interested maybe in the under 5.5 as the series goes longer. We know there's fewer penalties, and that kind of takes away from the Hurricanes' advantage of their elite power play against the Islanders' weak penalty kill. So that could limit some scoring opportunities there. So the under 5.5 would be a small lean, but yeah, just banking on the Islanders to extend this series. And then you know what? They got plus 1.5 games. Islanders back in New York, one more game to win, and maybe we get that ticket after all, after it looked dead after the first few games. But yeah, the Islanders are a team I like. They still have good culture. They're older bunch of vets there. I think that they'll put up a fight at least, and that's all you want.
Yeah, Carolina does have the added pressure. You can say it's good, you can say it's bad about, you know, they know the Rangers are waiting for them now. So, like, if they don't get it done now, they have another game they have to play. They can't prepare for the Rangers yet. So, I don't know if that factors into the handicap at all, factors into the line. But, yeah, this is a big line for the Canes. All right, we are brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. It's the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing their pick 'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like goals, assists, points, shots on goal, and so much more. You can make entries of all hockey or mix and match across your favorite sports to win up to 100 times your money. And it's a ton of fun. Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and now Florida with Champions, their player versus player format. So make sure to sign up at underdogfantasy.com with promo code HGP. And Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code HGP. Okay, here, going down to the 9:30 p.m. time slot. We got the Colorado Avalanche at the Winnipeg Jets. Game itself is in Winnipeg. Jets are plus 102. Avalanche are minus 122. Over-under is at 6.5, overpaying off minus 118, with the under at minus 102. Joel, are your Avs going to close it out here?
It's funny noticing this, that the Jets are having the same thing happen to them that they did last year. Not only in the playoffs that we're seeing now, they win the first game in fairly dominant fashion. And then, actually not even dominant. They got lucky that Georgiev, as I said, is one of his worst games of the year. In that one, Avalanche, I think, were a slightly better team. But still, they win the first game, then they go down 3-1. Favor to go lose the series 4-1. And this is a team that were top of the division, and they were in the President's Trophy hunt for a bit this year. And then the same thing happened. Like, there was a terrible stretch after the All-Star break, solid month of just losing game after game. Hellebuck deteriorated, and he's definitely deteriorated now in the playoffs. You hate to see that after he said that if a goal gets by me, it's a fluke. What a joke. He gets pulled in the next game, or the game after he said that, for Brossoit, and then rightfully so. He's not been good at all, and the Jets' defense has been arguably worse. Like, the expected goals, they were 5-2 for the Avs in the last one. Like, they're just ripping through them. Scoring opportunities were 10-4, I think I heard. Yeah, the Avalanche were by far the better team, and if history teaches us anything, they're going to lose this game and be the same place they were last year, just like the rest of the season. And it's been a copycat of 2022-23. So, yeah, the Avs here would be my lean, not only because of that, just because of they've been the better team here, and you can't just bank on Hellebuck turning it around. We've been asking him to do that for a while. Like, he had an historically good first half of the season, but he's, you know, barely above average in the last couple of months anyway, and certainly below average in this series. And yeah, like I said, the Jets defense not doing anything. The penalty kill sucks. They're taking so many penalties. Like, the Avalanche is living on the power play and making them pay for it. I think they're like 40-50% on the power play. And yeah, we're seeing a Cale Makar who's old Cale Makar. He hasn't been playing like this most of the year. And he's been absolutely flying. So if you're getting the vintage Makar again, McKinnon, of course, he's doing his thing. Nichushkin, his first ever hat trick, of course, comes to the playoffs when he typically delivers his best work. So yeah, I like the Avs here. The over 6.5, why not? I mean, Georgiev has been much better since the first game, but still not elite. And the Avalanche, you know, is just carving up the Jets defense once again. And yeah, you just can't anticipate Hellebuyck getting back on track so quickly. So over 6.5, Avalanche money line. I think they get the job done. And yeah, let's fucking go Avs.
Yeah, you got my boy Artturi Lehkonen too with a golden assist last game.
Oh, yeah, another performer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the Jets need. The ESPN broadcast, the Jets need. The ESPN broadcast tonight for the Panthers game, which is still awful, by the way. We're talking about the Matthew Tkachuk trade and how that was like transformative for that franchise. They needed someone like that. And like, I guess that might be what the Jets need. Like, they have these good players. Like, we talk about it in the regular season, Kyle Connor, Ehlers playing down the lineup. They have Cole Perfetti scratched here in the playoffs. Like, they need someone that's gonna be the guy for them. Like, Scheifele's not quite that personality. Neither is Connor or Ehlers. Like, they need someone that can step up. I'm not sure if they can do that via trade this offseason or whatnot, but they have to fix something because it's 2 years in a row now I've been fooled by them in the playoffs in the first round.
It looked like they were fixed it, by the Blake Wheeler thing, Dubois getting out of there, and then nope, they've indeed fooled us.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, in this
scratching Cole Perfetti is criminal. I don't care how he's looked in the series. He's one of their best offensive weapons. And
he hasn't played, has he? I don't think he's played in the series.
Not one game. That's insane.
I don't think so, because I know he in the regular season finale he had 2 goals. Yeah, he has not played in the playoffs.
That's bewildering to me. I mean, yeah, Rick Bonus, he doesn't play Nikolaj Ehlers enough. He's arguably their best player. And Cole Perfetti is one of their best offensive players. I know he's not the best defensively, but look at the rest of the team. They're not doing any better. So yeah, get the guy in there. Get my guy Cole. Free him. Free him up and let him rip.
Maybe they trade Perfetti and get someone that's a little bit older.
We'll take him.
A little more experienced. Yeah,
gotta be cheap now.
bring him to Philly. We'll give you Konechny. We'll give you Scott Laudon. We'll give you these character guys. And yeah. I mean, yeah. But yeah, for this game here in Winnipeg, I may allow myself to get fooled one more time, just due to the Avs on the road. Overall, this season, including playoffs, they're 20, 17 and 6. So 20 wins, 23 losses. Winnipeg's 28, 12 and 3 at home. So 28 and 15 losses. I know they went 1-1 at home earlier in the series, but I think, backs against the wall, Hellebuyck might finally show up, and getting the Jets at plus odds at home, I think is too good to pass up for me. So I would lean that way. Jets plus 102. But yeah, and by saying that, I probably lean to the under, but like, it's hard to bet against an over in this series. So I'm not going to touch that total, but I do like Avalanche in 6 at plus 230. If you like the Jets in this game, I have to imagine the Avalanche would be pretty big favorites back at home. So if you want to get plus 230 on that, it wouldn't be a bad look.
That makes sense.
All right, going down to the final game on the docket at 10 p.m. We have the Nashville Predators at the Vancouver Canucks. Game itself is in Vancouver. Canucks are minus 118. Predators are minus 102. Over-under is at 5.5, overpaying off minus 115, with the under at minus 105. Joel, will your Canucks close it out tomorrow night?
Well, like we were hinting at earlier, the series should be 3-1 for the Predators, not for the Canucks. It's not because of the Canucks second and third string goalies. They've been fine. And it's just there's no offense coming from the Canucks. And what offense there is, the Predators are able to get their body on the line and block these shots. And on the other side, the Canucks are having to do a lot of that themselves because the Predators are getting so many scoring opportunities. They're just missing by inches. They're getting a lot of close calls. So in that respect, you can imagine some variance to swing the other way, some positive regression for the Predators. A few of those close bounces go their way. But at the same time, like we were talking, handicapping the Islanders-Hurricanes game after the Islanders blew their 3-goal lead, and then they went home and then were thoroughly outplayed by the Hurricanes. Now the Predators have to go to Vancouver. And and the Islanders had 2 days off between those games. The Preds just have the one. It's just really hard to get back up. Like, that's so demoralizing, deflating to be so close to a 3-1 series or a 2-2 tying up the series and then going down 3-1. You could tell, like, even in the overtime, like, they're already dead. It only took a minute for the Canucks to score. So I imagine I imagine that that's the strong play here is the Canucks to finish the series. Still don't know whether it's going to be DeSmith or Shelovs, but I don't think it really matters the way the Canucks are playing them. All their big guys are playing well. I mean, not Pedersen. He's been useless, but the Miller Besser line has been awesome. Garland, oh my word, like that pass was vintage. Garland to Lindholm to win the game. That line's been awesome. Relatively to you know the dominance of the Preds here in terms of the 5-on-5 expected goal share. But what was I gonna say? I lost my train of thought. Oh yeah, the Predators are doing a great job on Quinn Hughes though. Like he was able to, you know, like he was on the ice for like the past last 3 minutes of that game, and he was able to affect and influence it to the point that the Canucks were able to tie it. But before that, the Predators were like swarming him, like forechecking 2-3 bodies on him the whole time. And he was getting pressured, he was getting body checked, he was hurt at one point, and he was effectively removed until the last few minutes when he was able to, you know, just transcend that contact that the Predators were throwing his way. And expect that to continue, but at home, Canucks will have the last change, whatever. The Taka could do some more line matching. And so that's another advantage for the Canucks here. I mean, Brunette is a hell of a coach, of course, and he was able to use that to maximum advantage in the Predators' home games. But now going to Vancouver, this is another one where I think the Canucks finish the series here. I should bring up before I forget out of the 230 times that, or is it 238 times that a team has gone up 3-1 in the series, only 28 of them they've lost. It's something like that. It's very close, but the point is that it's a outstanding record. It's very hard to come from behind when you're 3-1 down. So the series should be over, and I think they finish it here. Let's go Knox, lean to the under 5.5 with the way both these teams are blocking shots and not really taking many penalties either. It's been a fairly low event game in terms of the power play opportunity. So yeah, let's go the Canucks, lean to the under.
Yeah, that's kind of a surprising stat. It's kind of more surprising than like the only four teams that come back from a 3-0 deficit. Like a 3-1 deficit, you just have to win 3 in a row. You've already beat them once. Like that's kind of more, obviously not, doesn't roll off the tongue as much as, you know, only four teams have ever done this, but that is pretty telling. And that's what we're talking about. I mean, tomorrow the favorites are favorites for a reason, but I don't know. I kind of like the Preds here, even money. I just, they've been good on the road all season long. Haven't been bad on the same on away and at home. Canucks are decent at home, 28-10-5. That's pretty good, but I don't know. I don't know if I trust Seelovs exactly. I think Soros comes up big here, and the Predators have played well pretty much except for the game that they won. They got 72% the Canucks had 72% of the expected goals for in that one, but past two games Nashville had 60-65. Really should have won that game 3. Colton Sissons had a chance to hit the empty net. They're up by 2. Game 4 there. So I don't know. I'm going back to the Preds here again. If you can round even money, I think that's a good look. I think one of them or the Jets is able to extend their series, but I do lean to the under. Yeah, under 5.5, -102. Canucks have not been getting a lot of shots. I've been fading Elias Pettersson shots. He's not even taking many shot attempts. So if you want to do that, I think the Preds do finally get one here with their better goaltending and maybe get an overtime game here. Not exactly sure what that's paying off. Probably +3 something, +310. Yeah, I could definitely see another overtime game here between these two. All right, that's the four games for Tuesday, April 30th. I believe the only consensus plays we had were Bruins puck line, and then I think that's it. Possibly the over in the Avs game, but I kind of lean under if the Jets are going to win that.
You want to touch on the Kings Oilers game Wednesday?
Yeah, you're not going to be here tomorrow. So yeah, we can touch on. We have odds out for that. Let me get those back up. Kings at Oilers Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Edmonton leads that series 3-1. The Kings or Oilers are -192. The Kings are +160. Over under is at 6.5. Overpaying off +105, with the under at -125. Do you have plays? You have anything prepared for this?
Not really. Just want to talk about the series for the most part. yeah, I got home, so I watched this whole game last night. Game four. And the Oilers were, for the first time in the series, I think they were the lesser team. I mean, they only had, 12, 14 shots, something crazy like that. The Kings were throwing everything in the net. Not a lot of truly high danger chances, but still, they definitely dominated the play of 5-on-5. It's just the Oilers got one power play, I think, the whole game. I don't quote me on that, but I only remember one. And they scored on it. It was at least the first one. And they were able to protect the lead. Stuart Skinner was excellent. He made the right saves. I don't remember him making too many 10 Bell saves, but he certainly did his part, which is something that we were questioning coming in, whether he'd be able to play his best hockey, because he's been very up and down over the course of the season, as most goalies have been over the past few years. And yeah, he was great. He was, what was it, the second game he wasn't very good. He led in some weak ones, but over in LA here, he's been pretty good. Then now going back home, Oilers here, I don't expect them to let this opportunity pass them by. They just have the Kings number. Give me the Oilers here to finish the job. There's another one where maybe this 3-1 series or another opportunity. I think that the Oilers here should be closer to the Canes price. Maybe not quite that high, but maybe a little bit higher than this minus 192 number. And yeah, they've just been the better team. They're able to the Kings haven't been able to do their game plan, because McDavid is still able to produce chances. They did a good job at him in game four. But again, you just give them one power play opportunity and then they'll make you pay. The Kings are supposed to have the best penalty kill that they were in the regular season, at least top 2 or 3. And the Oilers are still, they have 8 power play goals in 4 games. So they're not going to win a series if you're letting the Oilers get these power play opportunities, and they don't need any of them to score. I think they're 50% or something like that. So yeah, I think the Oilers get the job done here and send the Kings back to LA.
Yeah, I completely agree there. I think Oilers puck line plus 130 could be the look here. Maybe just, you know, ladder that up possibly, or ladder up a team total. Could see another 6-1 type win like they had, or a 7-4 back in game one. I see a high scoring game here. So yeah, over 6.5 minus 105. But yeah, that game four of Stuart Skinner. Is it plus 105? Yeah, plus 105. Yeah, plus 105, yeah, for the over. Like that even more then. And yeah, that game, that performance by Stuart Skinner, looked like his eyes were looking in different directions, seeing the puck coming from everywhere there. So that gave me more confidence in the Oilers long term too. I'm not sure what their price for the cup is sitting at right now. They're right behind the Canes. Canes are plus 460. Oilers and Panthers are both 5-1. So the favorites to win the West at plus 240. Yeah, the Oilers showed they can win a nice low-scoring game there, even though they got outshot by 20. To get one power play, they convert on it. And yeah, that's how you need to win in the playoffs. And they're great at home, 28-9-4. Kings are 22-15-4 on the road. So I think the Oilers could have done on Wednesday night. I'll play the puck line, maybe some Hyman goal, McDavid over 1.5 points or something. Just rack up the props there.
Right, yeah, you're right about you make a good point about that's the way you got to win in the playoffs, and that's what we were wondering and a bit concerned about this Oilers team, whether they just need to get involved in these shootouts to win games. And there was one stretch like in their almost record-setting winning streak where they were playing like these lower scoring one goal games, which was encouraging at the time, but then they kind of like went back to old Oilers. But yeah, this game was more of a vintage playoff win. In that respect,
yeah. Stuart Skinner was great during that stretch. I mean, the whole team was. But yeah, that's what they have to do. That's what we needed to see there.
RIP to the Capitals, I guess.
Yeah, RIP to the Capitals. I'm gonna ask if you want to touch on the early odds for the Rangers and Canes that are out there.
Sure. I mean, yeah, I lean to the Rangers there. What was it, plus 140? Is that what it was?
Currently, I see plus 126 at FanDuel, but I know Archer saw them, so they must be on DraftKings, but I can't see him in PA here.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine it'll be around there.
Yeah, plus 140, I'd really like the Rangers. I think it'll be a close series, and the Rangers historically have the Hurricanes number, but we'll deal with that when we get it. Like, the Islanders are still in it. They're not the Capitals. They're still around, and yeah, wish the Penguins were in there instead of the Caps, but c'est la vie. Yeah, that was. Yeah,
Crosby would have at least showed up. Ovi packed it in. He was just.
Yeah, first. That was his first series ever where he didn't record a single point. So.
Yeah.
And it looked like his. He went back to like young Ovi, where there was like no defensive work either. Like.
Yeah, Ovi, it was just coasting along out there. Conn Smythe, anything catch your eye? I saw, I think someone posted in Discord, JT Miller. I think it was either Catfish or Archer. He's 50-1.
Catfish, he fucking loves JT.
he got the JT Miller jersey from China, right?
That's right. Yeah, he's an old Tampa guy, right? So that's where Dilly's from, Florida.
Yeah, yeah. JT Miller 50-1. I don't mind that. I mean, Patterson 50-1 is kind of shocking, given how. The voting is based on the Stanley Cup final.
Well, never bet Pettersson, I'll tell you that. No, it's Quinn Hughes. Like, I actually made a few Conn Smythe bets. My first ones, I think on Friday night or Saturday morning, I bet Tkachuk at 18-1, and I bet Quinn Hughes and Jack Eichel yesterday. Jack Eichel's 25, Quinn Hughes is 35, so. That's what I got in pocket. I think that those players are the likeliest to win. If those teams, yeah, they got 30-1 for Jack Eichel on FanDuel there. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the 35-1 is still up there for Quinn Hughes. Yeah, I mean, like I said, he wasn't that effective in the press game until the final minute there. But it just takes a couple of those great plays to get in the voters' minds and so forth. I'm certainly less strong on my McKinnon. Take because Makar is actually, you know, he's elevated his game to 2021 Makar, so he can definitely win it there. He should be about not quite even with McKinnon, but I think the odds right now are pretty fair. McKinnon at 14-1, Makar 20-1. That's probably a realistic difference.
Yeah, you got your boy, your puck boy Seth Jarvis at 30-1 now. Look at that CLV on that.
Yeah, he scored again, right, for the Canes in their loss.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Verhaeghe, 35-1. He had another one today.
Huh?
Verhaeghe.
Verhaeghe, did he score today? I think
so. He got one today, yeah. Yeah, he got one today.
Yeah, it's insane how many goals he scores in the playoffs. He's the playoff leader for the Panthers franchise.
Yeah. All right. Anything else pressing? You want to go watch the end of this this Panthers game here?
I desperately want to go watch. I am trying not to squint to avoid people making fun of me.
All right.
Looking at a blurry screen.
Yeah. Make sure you're subscribed to the Hockey Gaming Podcast on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Subscribe on YouTube as well at Hockey Gaming Podcast and follow us on Twitter at HockeySGPN. I am Ryan Gilbert. You can follow me on Twitter at rgilbertsnop.
I'm Joe Meyer. And also, go Nugs. Let's go finish the series. Fuck the Lakers. Come on, Jokic. Get it done.
See ya.